Hi everybody. Welcome to this podcast. I'm joined this morning by the Mayor of Greater Manchester, Andy Burnham. Thanks very much for joining us, Andy.
You're welcome, John.
We'll just get straight into it. Obviously, we want to talk about the living wage, and this is a kind of opportunity to set up Living Wage Week, which is next week, as you know, and we've got a whole range of events in Greater Manchester. So seemed like a good time to have a chat. I think the last time we did this was back in 2021, in a different time, in a different place, I think.
A lot has changed.
It certainly has. I think just the first question would be how you think the Living Wage campaign and the action plan, the GM action plan, have developed since that launch in 2021, and you know, what are the positives and really what have been the challenges since we launched that?
I think it's come on leaps and bounds, John. The buy-in from businesses, but all organizations actually, has been huge, to be honest, and I think the understanding of paying decent wages actually is good for your business or good for your organization is a much more widespread understanding now than it was, you know, when we were first starting to get things going. I mean, we're getting up to almost 1,000 employers in Greater Manchester being living wage accredited, which is a big number, isn't it? Much more to go, of course. And also the policy debate around all these things has changed as well, hasn't it? And you know, it's great to see that. But we stick at it, John. I think, you know, for us, from the Greater Manchester perspective, we've just published the new Greater Manchester strategy for the next 10 years. You know, we can celebrate the growth we've had in the last 10, so 2015 to 2025. We have seen really significant economic growth in Greater Manchester. But has it benefited all people? Well, no is the growth much more inclusive and better for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, we have seen a significant, I remember back in 99 when I first working on the campaign with what was then, back then was Greater Manchester Poverty Action and now Resolve Poverty. So we've been at it for quite a while, and a while before that, I think, probably. I think we were at sort of 250 employers then, and we are, as you say, heading towards the 1,000. And I think what's interesting, I mean, I think the approach that we took, I don't know if you agree, is this isn't either a social justice argument or an economic argument. This is both. And actually, I think what we've done in Greater Manchester, I suppose the question is, do you agree? Is I think by having that multi approach, it's been a lot easier to engage employers, particularly with the support of the Good Employment Charter and the fact that the living wage is embedded in that. So, I mean, the question, I guess, is do you think that having that sort of wider approach is more effective with business or not?
Well, I think it has been highly effective, John. I'd like to thank you, all of the members of Greater Manchester Poverty Action, who were a huge help to me, actually, in my early days as mayor, trying to sort of think about how do we implant the objectives of what we were trying to do at the heart of Greater Manchester devolution. And you played a big role, all of you. And I thank everyone listening to this podcast because, you know, in the 90s, you know, the city region just had to get growth going. And I don't think we were able to be, you know, as ambitious, perhaps. We just had to start, you know, the place moving. But as we've kind of gone through the decades, developing now a model of growth that's true to this place, true to what it's always been, to its roots, is a model of growth that benefits all people, isn't it? That's what this place wouldn't actually in the end stand for anything less, would it? You know, if it didn't evolve like that, then people would reject it. So, you know, I think it's been invaluable, the support that you've given us. I think typically we haven't made an overly political argument. We've made a pragmatic argument. And I do think that has been the right thing to do, and therefore has landed and kind of found the common ground with the private sector, which is obviously what we have to do in life, isn't it? You know, we need an approach about the common ground, and that's definitely the Greater Manchester approach. But I think what's starting to happen now is thinking a bit beyond the living wage to thinking about living well, you know, the Live Well initiative that we're bringing through, and thinking about people's rent, the cost of transport, you know, all of those kind of wider things that, you know, mean some of our residents don't have the life that we would want them to have when they can't afford some of those basics.
I think it's a package, isn't it? And I think the, from our point of view, Resolve, I think it's important that we see the income is a really fundamental part of that package. Obviously, there's all sorts of issues, isn't there, around health, around housing, around education, around opportunities, you know, that we all, and I think in Greater Manchester, we are on the front foot on a lot of those issues. I think I just, you know, pick up with you, and I think kind of press you a little bit on, you know, these are challenging times for employers, you know, and not just for employers in Greater Manchester. And, you know, I suppose the question is, how do we keep the momentum up when we are, when we know employers are facing a wide range of challenges, you know, some of which are domestically, you know, forces, some of which are international forces, some of which are all sorts of things. But clearly, you know, these are difficult times for a number of employers. And I suppose, how do we fit that into, how do we fit the campaign, not just into the current economic climate, but also looking forward to the Employment Rights Bill and all that that will bring in terms of what I believe to be benefits for workers that are, in some cases, long overdue. I know the living wage isn't, the national living wage isn't a statutory part of the bill, and certainly not the way that we would see it. But I do think it's a step forward. Is that how you would see the landscape at the minute?
I do. And I think we do need to recognise the challenges and the employers, and they would point, I'm sure, any of them listening to this, to the national insurance increase, which, you know, is something that, you know, many have found difficult. And there are wider pressures, aren't there, on businesses. I think the way we respond is work with those who are trying to do the right thing and empower them, support them. And that community that we've built around the Good Employment Charter, I think, is one of those ways of doing that, isn't it? And, you know, really asking the, you know, the GM Growth Hub to lean in as well, and, you know, and help them, because it is a real challenge. But we would still make the argument. In fact, we would probably say, in challenging times, lean more into this agenda, because, you know, retaining staff is a massive thing, isn't it, for any business? You know, keeping the staff that you've got, keeping them motivated, and, you know, you can then reduce the costs in terms of recruitment and sickness and all of those things. I think, you know, the kind of revolving door is just not a good place for any organization to be, is it? And though it's hard, you know, just constantly pointing to the wider benefits of a you know, a pay policy that, you know, makes everyone in the organization feel kind of involved, rewarded, it's just got to make sense. But we have to be cognizant as well, don't we, of the pressures that they're under, and in many ways play some of those things back to the government as well.
I think that's right. I think the one thing I'd just like to pick up with you is, I mean, I think the role of the trade unions have played in this campaign, certainly in our campaign. I mean, we've had tremendous support from trade unions, particularly, I suppose, Unison, I'd point to. I'm just interested, given that we're now into a different phase of government and that we are have a new employment bill, just what the role of the trade unions has been and what it is going forward in terms of the living wage, living hours, and all of those changes.
Well, they have been hugely valuable partners, haven't they? And I think the way we built this together is making sure that, you know, those perspectives are always in the room, and, you know, there's not a sort of a, you know, this is an inclusive movement, isn't it? That is about bringing all the voices together, but then obviously hoping that there's a, you know, shared direction. And I think it's a better way for the trade unions to achieve their objectives sometimes than, you know, just, if you like, reaching to sort of dispute situations. Well, both are needed, aren't they? But I do think this has shown the sort of the positive power of the trade union movement. And, you know, we've been very grateful to them for the way that they've the way that they've engaged. And I think it's probably has led to some of those changes at a national level as well, hasn't it? You know, when we all engage in this way, I think it, you know, it multiplies the progress that we're making. I think in the next decade, John, I would want to come back to this idea of, you know, can we become a city region that pioneers a new model of growth that truly is inclusive? Because for businesses going forward, if I just kind of think about it from their point of view, keeping hold of talent, bringing in talent from all communities is going to be the thing that will define their success or not. And, you know, I think creating a city that's truly livable, low cost public transport, you know, what the city council, and I pay credit to Bev and yourself and all of the councils who've actually sort of turned around some of the thinking around housing in the city and starting to build truly affordable homes in the city centre. I think all of that, when you add it all together, you know, living wage plus affordable transport plus homes that people can afford, that's when the real breakthrough, I think, can start to be made. And it's interesting, isn't it, looking at the election of a new mayor in New York overnight, you know, and pointing very directly to these cost of living issues.
Absolutely.
And, you know, what I think he's saying, it's not an anti-business message to say your employees won't be able to contribute in the way you would need them to if they're struggling with all of these pressures on the essentials. And I think there's a sort of agenda that's coming together around that, isn't it? And I think Greater Manchester can play a leading role in that, you know, the new model of growth that cities will need as we go further into the 21st century. And that's where it gets really exciting.
I think that's right. And I think, you know, it's good that you point out the long term, because I think, you know, the plan that we set out with in 2021 was always a sort of 2030 target. So I'm just interested a little bit in how you think the other elements that have dropped out of the sort of living wage campaign, like living hours, living pensions, how you see that, is that part of that broader approach to building a more sort of sustainable economy?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think those are the elements maybe we need to focus on a little more as we go forward. The living hours point, I think, is a, you know, is a really powerful one. But more broadly, living income, you know, what, when you look at all of the pressures on people, you know, how do you turn all of that into a living income? I went up to Harper Hay in the mayoral election last year, and I'm going to just reference it again here, John, because it had a profound impact on me. It was the Debt Justice Campaign, who had a mayoral hustings, and they had a number of people who wanted to describe living with debt and, you know, how corrosive that is of mental health. And I think sometimes, you know, we need to also, as well as aspire to the, you know, a good living income for people, perhaps get more into the space of what are the, you know, the real barriers. And, you know, that left a profound impression on me. And the thing that's kind of come back to me following some of the kind of follow-up I've done is how, again, Manchester City Council have started to think differently about use of bailiffs and that kind of thing. And I do think we need to take this deeper and into a more rounded sort of view of how people on low incomes, but also then the corrosive effect of debt and those worries, how that, you know, damages people's mental health. So, you know, the big drive in Greater Manchester is live well. And I think all of those components need to be in play, don't they? How do we help people live well? It's living wage, living hours, living pension.
Yeah.
But it's freedom from debt and the worry that comes with debt. You know, it's all of that added together, isn't it?
And I think that's right. I mean, I think the role that we try and play as Resolve Poverty, and in particular my role as promoting the living wage, is very clearly there are a whole range of issues that we need to deal with, some of which are, you know, certain quarters are attempting to reduce the importance of, like, you know, young people's mental health, which I think is absolutely
critical
at the moment. It's not just coming out of the pandemic, but, you know, overall the pressures that people are under, the fact that they can't find a housing, the fact that their jobs are, you know, not paying what they need to. I mean, I think, you know, there's a whole package, isn't there? And I think that Live Well is that umbrella, really.
Yeah.
In terms of the living wage, it's an important key in part, isn't it? But there is so much more around poverty, isn't there?
I think so. You know, again, I'm going to go back to what the new mayor of New York was saying about, you know, some of the unseen people in the workforce. You know, did you hear him? You know, talking about hands callous from hard work, and, you know, and kind of people who, you know, putting power in the hands of people who, you know, who are often unseen in the workplace. I kind of found that, you know, quite stirring, really, in that, you know, there is a vision here, isn't there, of a, you can have a really highly successful entrepreneurial economy that lifts people at the bottom. And you know, that's, I kind of feel Greater Manchester, is we've placed ourselves in the mix here, haven't we, of the places that are thinking seriously about all of this. And you know, the emphasis over there that's been put on free buses, I'm not sure I can manage free buses, John, but I can say to,
well, as a regular user of your buses on a daily basis, I think they're a massive step forward, I think, in terms of, you know, giving people that up. I mean, obviously, one of the issues that we find with low pay and while we're running our campaign is just the cost of getting to work, just the cost of work. You know, I mean, we've literally, exactly, and I'm sure you have, spoken to people who can't afford to take a job halfway across the city because they can't get there.
Exactly.
You know.
You know, I, at all costs, will maintain the B network as a low fare, high usage system. That's what we want. And you know, we're going to keep the £2 fare cap as long as we possibly can. You know, we're looking at that at the moment, but my intention is to keep it as long as I prudently can. But also building out some of the other offers that we've started to develop. So the credit unions allowing people to buy annual or monthly passes through weekly installments. So, you know, getting the discount of an annual through, you know, a weekly
payment.
I'm a
member of South Manchester Credit Union. I'm very grateful for that particular.
We were so grateful for their help, but I think we need to make it more known and make it easier for people to access it. But also maybe apply it to other things as well, you know, other big costs that people have. We removed the 9:30 rule for pensioners. You know, sometimes these issues are just missed by Westminster. But I think we've got to be, like, the way I see politics at the moment is we've got to be working every day just to make little changes that might take that little bit of pressure off people and give them that little more freedom and positivity and how they can get around and what they can do. The times demand that we do that, don't they?
Absolutely.
You know, the times that people are living in. And I'm going to keep, you know, the B network is obviously one of the biggest vehicles I've got to reduce the cost of living for people. And I'm pretty determined that we, you know, we keep that.
Right. I've just got one last point to put to you. Living Wage Week next week. Both you and I will be in Oldham, in the great state of Oldham.
Looking forward to it.
On Monday morning. What's your, just ahead of Living Wage Weeks, what's your thoughts? What's your ambition for it? What do you hope it achieves?
I think it puts the focus where it should be ahead of the budget, doesn't it? You know, thinking about how we help people on the lowest wages who are struggling most in life. You know, I know the kind of the chatter in the Westminster media goes straight to, you know, sort of the you know, the issues around, I don't know, higher earners or whatever and what's coming down the track, or I just think we've got to you know, focus very clearly on, you know, too many people living life too close to the edge, aren't there? And Living Wage Week is a positive kind of week, isn't it? So to give everyone a living wage, reaffirm our commitment to a place where everyone has a living wage. Why shouldn't anyone have a living wage. It's the kind of most basic thing to want in life, isn't it? That your wage keeps pace with all of those other pressures that we've been talking about. Yeah. And I kind of feel that, there's the time is to sort of really, really celebrate how far we've come next week. You know, get on the front foot again. If this country's going to be back where we want it, we do have to do something serious about the alienation that some people feel in their lives or in their communities. And people on all incomes need to recognise that people on the lowest wages often seen, they think their community is neglected. Yeah. And then you get, the kind of the negative politics perhaps that kind of, comes from those conditions. If we want to live in a more cohesive, more kind of unifying society, we have to do more to lift people up whose lives are much harder than they should be. And next week is a week to sort of be proud about what we've done and, be resolved, be resolute about where we're taking this in the future.
Great stuff. So thanks very much, Andy Burnham.
No worries.
You can see this on the Resolve Poverty website, and we'll be out on all our socials, and I'll send you a copy over to your office later. Enjoy the rest of the day. I'm going to stop the recording now. So thanks very much again, Andy, and thanks for your time.
Yeah, see you soon, mate.